Yesterday's performance does not constitute a streak. I just did think it was an interesting day. It's an interesting day because the Warriors, at least, I don't worry about them ever tanking or anything like that. We've talked about how it's too late to tank, but I find it to be interesting when your top four names are all not playing. You still have the wherewithal. I don't care if it was a bad spot for Denver or not. You have the wherewithal. You have enough going on that if you're hot, if you're hitting your shots, you've got enough to go win a high-level basketball game. Pair that with some of the other things that happened around the West, such as Dylan Brooks breaking his hand. And you had a few other losses around the league. And I'm not saying the West by any stretch. Good Lord. I'm not talking about how it's gettable. But I do think the rest of the way is setting up to still be kind of, I guess, accessible is the best word that I want to bring up. The playoffs in this moment feel accessible for the Golden State Warriors.
Sure.
Even in their current state.
I think they've always been accessible, but when you have a game like that where you play a team that's actually trying and they're really good, even though they're playing their third game in 3.5 days and that's really hard and they've been on the road and traveling and all the rest of it, still, you went out there and you beat Denver. And Denver had gone to L.A. and faced the Clippers, and they lost. Back-to-back, up in Portland, they won. They had a day off, kind of, like a half a day off, and then they came here, and you beat them. So there's nothing to sneeze at, and you didn't have your top four players. But the point for me of yesterday is you've got still enough guys to go out there and beat a good Denver team. You put up 128 points, and you were knocking down your threes, and that was awesome. So is the West now more gettable? Is OKC trembling? Is San Antonio worried? Is Denver thinking, oh, God, I hope we don't face them in the playoffs?
Again, I'm just talking dance. I'm not talking about advance. I'm talking about dance. And that's what the Warriors say they want. They want meaningful basketball. They want a shot. Could you get, like, put it this way, too. I think something better than the 8 is accessible. I think the Warriors can get the 7. And the 7 is interesting. That is very, very interesting. A series against the Spurs would be interesting.
Yep.
Not saying I would pick them, but that would be interesting. You're going against a non-playoff tested, really young, very talented team. But then you get the whole Draymond Wemby thing. Would the Warriors probably lose that series? Probably. But I think that's about as that's probably about as good of a setup as you could hope for in this moment, don't you think?
At this point, yeah. I don't think you're going to get to 6. And right now, you're 4.5 back of Minnesota. And you're also 4.5 back of the Lakers, by the way. You're 5 back of Houston, who is the 4. You're 5.5 back of Denver, who's the 3. So if you want to really get crazy and think about, you know, going on some sort of a run like that, the 3 is not out of the question, but, I mean, 5.5 games, that's a lot in the NBA, and you got Denver, and still, at this point, you're still 5.5 back, but if you're 8 or 7, can you win that play-in game against Phoenix? I think so. So you get the 7, and you face the Spurs, theoretically. They're only 3 back of OKC, so that could flip eventually, but even if it is San Antonio, that, to me, would be the absolute best possible matchup that you could have.
I agree. 888-957-9570. The other thing we were talking a lot about earlier is the Warriors' role players. And I really believe this, at least in this moment. I really, really do believe this. I think that there are some interesting things happening. I know it is very in season and in style right now to say that the Warrior roster sucks. And it's exposed when Steph and Jimmy are out. There are definitely some things that get exposed when Steph and Jimmy are out. I don't know a whole lot of sports franchises that don't look like they have their pants down when their best players go out. There are exceptions. Boston is one of them. Oklahoma City is another. Those are teams that are young and playing at a very, very high level. I get it. But the majority of the time, and you can look around football and think about it, like Steph Curry types are kind of like quarterbacks in football.
Yep.
And I know
the Chiefs without Mahomes, for example.
We could go through this whole thing. Like, how'd the Ravens season go with Lamar hobbled? How did the Bengals season go with Joe Burrow missing all of that time? The Colts were going to make the playoffs, and then Daniel Jones got hurt.
Yep.
Where did it go from there? You know what I mean? The Vikings had Sam Darnold, then they let him go, and their season went from whatever they were, 14-3, all the way down to whatever they won. I think they won 9 games, 8
yeah,
games,
like that.
Whatever it is. We could do this. You know, Jaden Daniels gets hurt, Washington season falls apart. So that's kind of how I look at this. Of course, they look exposed, but I think what you are starting to see, it's not consistent yet, but I do think the Warrior roster has some of its role players for the future. I think it has some of its role players. They need to understand their role, but what we're seeing right now is not the evidence that a lot of us think, which is that, oh my gosh, the Warriors have nothing worth keeping. They have, like, this is an awful lottery team without Steph. And it's kind of like, well, some of that's obvious. Some of that's obvious. Yes, they will need new stars, and they do not have that right now. I just believe that one of the reasons the players they currently have don't look great to you is because they're being put in a position to where they have to go do great things, and they're not able to do that. But if you ask me right now, do I find Will Richard, Moses Moody, Brandon Pajemski, and Guy Santos, can I tell you that those four young players, they can be on my team, provided that not too much is asked of them?
Right.
I'd say yes.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, right now, you've got those four guys who are going to have to be key contributors in the short run. I mean, Draymond should be back, and unfortunately, Porzingis, we don't really know what his situation is going to be, and Steph's going to be out for another week or longer. And so right now those guys are being asked to do more than what you would want them to do. But I'm with you as far as like the future. And think about this team next year, this time of year in February. If all those guys you mentioned are still on the team, Jimmy's back, you still have Kristaps, and you got Draymond and Steph making one last push at it. These guys are now players, you know, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And that's workable.
And they also get the experience of this, which makes them, in theory, better next year. I know none of this is sexy. You know what I mean? Like, Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line just sent something in. 925, thank you for listening. Goes, not drinking the Dubs Kool-Aid. Role players are called that for a reason. Let's see him run off a winning streak of 6 games. Not likely. Well, you're right. But no, I don't need to see them run off 6 games, and I'm not drinking any Kool-Aid. What they're being asked to do right now, they are usually not going to be capable of because they're not those dudes. What I'm telling you is I think that they are the other kind of dudes. Not necessarily, and I get it, if role players doesn't float your boat and you're just like, ah, they're replaceable. To a degree, you're right. I understand that. They're not key pieces. So are they replaceable? Sure. But for a lot of these guys, it's young, they're early in their career, and I do think that they have some interesting skill set things to offer. Guy Santos certainly does. Will Richards certainly does. You know, Moody is becoming more consistent. This is what you asked of him. All you want Moses Moody to do is be 3 and D. That's it. And he does both of those things.
Yeah. And Pods has been, I mean, this player for the majority of his career. Whether or not you like how he plays, he doesn't usually score like he did yesterday, but he's this guy. He's a great rebounding guard. He doesn't make a lot of silly mistakes. He plays good but not great defense. He's a guy who doesn't kill you.
I just think that Pods is still the one that is, I don't want to call it head-scratching. There's a challenge there. There's a challenge there. That's true for a lot of young players in the NBA, which is they're like, I see myself as this. And the team is like, cool, we see you as that. And now we need to blend those things. Usually over time, that blend happens, but not always. And I said this earlier, I'll say it again. As much as the whole Pods and Kuminga thing became this like rock'em sock'em robots battle over the last 2 years, I'd actually argue that's because the two of them have similar characteristics.
Right.
Not as basketball players, but their mental game. Both of them see themselves as a big deal, and they are hell-bent on wanting to show everybody that. And they may or may not be right. Kuminga's got a skill set that would open the rest of our minds to it a little bit more, but neither of them have proven a damn thing about playing at an all-star level. And quite frankly, I'd vote no on both of them if I was predicting.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's more about fitting into any, not just this, any team concept.
Right, and I think that Pods does more to do that on the regular, which is why Steve Kerr played him a lot more than he played Kuminga while JK was here. And I don't know if it's because of his experience in the system or experience here in America playing college basketball or whatever it was that Kerr liked about Pods. And, you know, we've been through this before about the three-man lineups and, you know, the most productive lineups. Pods is a part of most of them. And so, you know, on the plus-minus, when he's on the floor with Steph and Jimmy, Steph and Draymond, without those guys, they tend to do well when he's out there. And so I think it's a little bit tricky with Pods where, yeah, yesterday, you don't have Steph and Jimmy and Draymond and Kristaps, so go out there and score and, you know, rescue us if you could, and he did, but I think he has a better ability to dial it back when the time is right.
Maybe. I thought Steve Kerr yesterday after the game finally gave an answer to all of this. He didn't mean to, but I think he gave the answer that everybody wanted. And you and I have talked about this a lot through the years when people go, why is Pods getting so many minutes? And we're like, because of his position. It's his position. He's a guard. And the Warriors don't have a lot of other guards who can, like, bring the ball up the floor and all of that. Some people accept that answer, some don't. But I actually, let me see if I can create a little bracelet of Steve Kerr here.
Okay.
And it affects Pods, it affects Kuminga, and oddly, it affects Anthony Edwards. Here's what I mean. Do you remember, what did he say to Ant in that documentary about the Olympics experience they had, and it got a lot of attention when there was that scene on the practice floor where it's just Steve Kerr talking to Anthony Edwards about what he needed to do to take the next step as a basketball player?
He said, man, if you could just rebound like that, the sky's the limit for you, Ant.
And Ant goes, damn, Steve, you sound like my coach.
Right.
And he's like, right, because we get it.
Because I am your coach, right, for the next week right or now, so, right?
Like, that's the way coaches, we know this. There's certain buzz things that coaches love. Coaches love hustle. Coaches love defensive intensity. Coaches love rebounding. And there's a reason for that. Not everybody gives you that. And so if he says, Ant, you're amazing, but you need to rebound. And how often have we talked about the Kuminga story and rebounding? And then here comes Pajemski. And we know that for a guard, he loves to rebound. But Steve Kerr actually took it a step further. Listen to this again. This is after the game yesterday, talking about Pods' season as a whole.
It's been up and down, for sure. But our season has been up and down as a whole. And sometimes a team's struggles impacts the individuals. But we know what he can do. You know, for the last couple of years, he's been one of our highest plus-minus players. He's a very versatile player. The rebounding is what attracted us to him in the first place, you know, coming out of Santa Clara. And when a guy rebounds like that, you know he has great anticipation. So it's really more a matter of finding that sweet spot that we're trying to get him to, where he's making plays, but he's not dominating the ball. And that's his next step. And you can see tonight there was a little of both, and he got himself in trouble a couple times. But when he gets off it and then the ball starts moving, then he gets it back, it's totally different. The defense is closing out on him. He can use that leverage to get past people, make a pass, score a layup. So he's a really unique player, but he's still finding his way.
Okay, I've never heard anyone with the Warriors say that before. That when they drafted Pods, that's what attracted us to him. Rebounding.
The rebounding, yeah.
Nothing else. Rebounding.
Yeah. And it's the anticipation. It's the whole idea of, you know, how he goes about rebounding. Because Pods is, what, 6'2", maybe 6'3", and he's able to get in there and get rebounds because he anticipates it. And he goes about doing it because he wants to. In defense and rebounding, they're very similar. You have to want to go in there and do that and get, you know, muddy and get in there and get grimy and go in there against taller people anticipate the bounce, anticipate where the shot might come off, and then go up there and get it. It's a little bit like the Niners with their blocking wide receivers. Like, you can't just have a guy on your team, all right, go out there and block. You're either into it and you are somebody who wants to do it.
This is a great comp.
Or you're not. And like, that's why Juwan Jennings, a free agent, he'll go out there and maybe get more money than what the Niners can pay him. Who knows what's going to happen, but he fits so well here because he's willing to go out there and block and go after people and play the way that they want him to play.
15 rebounds.
Yeah.
15 rebounds.
8 in the fourth quarter.
Okay, that's over a third of the Warriors' entire rebounding total for the game. It was Brandon Pajemski yesterday. But let's not like lose sight of the others. Moses Moody, 7 rebounds. Guy Santos, 5 rebounds. And what does he always say about Guy? Like, what do they love about Guy? Can he shoot? Dude, he's stroking it right now, no doubt. But that's not what everybody is excited about. The Warriors are like, that dude is a ball of energy. He is flying around, sometimes too much. You know what I mean? Like, to me, Guy Santos is a lot like Hufanga. Like, sometimes there's a little over-pursuit there.
Good hair comp,
there's great
too.
Hair,
yep.
and a lot of energy. Sometimes a little too much energy. Let's rein it in. But good things happen when that dude starts running around. That's how I see those two players. And I think that could be a little bit of an answer as to why rotations have played the way they've played, not just this year, but the last handful of years. I think most NBA coaches, hell, any level, basketball coaches have a really hard time yanking people off the floor when they rebound with their hair on fire. That's the thing. Just go rebound.
Yeah.
If you do that, you're probably going to get a lot of minutes.
And that's where, and I hate for all roads to continually lead there, but that's where I think the biggest issue with Kuminga was. He wouldn't rebound like that. He would not rebound like his hair was on fire. And his agent, Aaron Turner, he said, well, if you play in minutes, then the rebounds will come. And, you know, he has to be out there to be able to get the rebounds. And that's true to an extent. But then you look at Pods with 15 total rebounds last night or yesterday afternoon in 36 minutes. The fact that he's able to get that many rebounds, it's effort. It's desire. And so, you know, Kuminga never really devoted himself at that level, and so that was part of the reason why he couldn't be played.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong. Brandon Pajemski, what I also loved about what Kerr just said, Brandon Pajemski has to learn the same thing. He has to learn the same thing. And whether it's an understated confidence or whether, it's the comments he's made in the past, there are a lot of times where we get word or wind of the fact that Pods sees himself as quite a player. And there's nothing wrong with confidence. There's nothing wrong with desire. There's nothing wrong with aspirations. But if it doesn't fit into a team concept, go back to, do you remember when Draymond did the whole, like, everybody's got an agenda?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And everybody at that time was like, it wasn't like, oh, you're talking about JK. Everyone was like, you're talking about Pods and JK.
Yep.
I really like a game like this and listening to the guys talk, the more I realize the issues that this team has had with those two players are similar, not different. It's the same thing. It's here's what we need you to do. And then the player going, but coach, I can do this. And they're like, that's great. We're not even saying that you can't do that, but this is what we need you to do over here. And he's very, very right. Pods can knock down a shot. He can get a rebound. I don't think he's not a turnover machine, but like, just get rid of the ball and then trust that it'll come back, which is what they all did yesterday. The ball movement was beautiful yesterday.
Yeah, that's what Steve said in that cut that you played. It's, you know, give it up and know and trust that it's going to come back to you. And he's played in every single game this year. And that's something that, you know, almost no other Warrior, I don't think any other Warrior can say that they've played in all 57. He's a plus 79 on the year, and that includes some absolute stink bombs that he's had. But in general, when he's out there, the team does well. And you mentioned the turnovers. He has 85 turnovers on the year, which is about 1.5 turnovers per game. You'll take that for a guy who's averaging, 28 minutes. He's played the most minutes on the team. He's always available, and he does a lot of the little things. But yeah, at times, he becomes a little bit too pods-centric offensively, and that's where hopefully over time he can evolve.
You are absolutely right that he has played 57 games and no other Warrior has. Do you want to, someone's played 56. You want to give it a whirl?
Is it Gui Santos?
That is incorrect. Gui has 46.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I know who it's not. It's probably easier to reverse engineer it. It's not Steph or Draymond or Jimmy or Kristaps. It's not Al.
Kristaps has played one.
Melton, I'm not going to rule him out yet. Pat's had a couple DNPs. It's not Pat. Gary hasn't played all the games.
Go ahead and rule out Melt. He missed the first of the whole season. Yeah.
And it's not GP2.
Is it Seth Curry?
I don't think
Thank
so.
You. Thank you, Grant.
You're welcome.
And it's not a Quinton Post. I started getting DNPs. It is, God, I'm running out of Warriors here. It would have to be, it's not Buddy. Oh, man. Buddy.
I know. That one still bums me out a little bit.
Man. He got his jersey retired at Oklahoma this weekend.
Buttered.
Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah.
I saw Trae Young tweet about it, which is cool.
Nice.
It's got to be, you love Will Richard.
Will Richard, 51 games.
Oh, snap.
You already ruled out the answer. You trust yourself too much.
Yeah. GP2?
Quinton Post? Quinton Post has 56 games played this year, and there's someone who has 55.
Wow.
Which is Moses Moody.
There you go.
Those are your top three this year in games played.
And Quinton Post just got his DNP recently. Yeah,
I think that
might have been
the Boston game.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was right there next to Pajemski until that game. Anyway, the larger point for me is I really think that there's something with, and I'm mainly focused on these four guys. I don't know why I'm leaving Post out of it. I still got questions about Post. Like, this team looks a lot better when Al Horford is playing that role over Quinton Post.
Yeah.
And obviously, Porzingis is going to take some of those minutes as well. I don't think it's a mistake that when Porzingis played, that's when Post suddenly got his first DNP. I don't know yet if I'm in or out on Quinton Post. But when it comes to Moses Moody, Will Richard, Brandon Pajemski, and Gui Santos, I see four guys who are young and can be successful role players on a good team. The problem is right now we're looking at them through the lens of being starters and playing 34 minutes. It's too much. It's too much. But I see skill sets that can work and can be future pieces for the team.
And they might be. I mean, going forward, you have Will Richard for two more years and a team option. Gui is not signed for next year, and Quentin's not. GP2 is not, and you've got pods for a team option that they picked up, and maybe he gets an extension or not. So you might be looking at a little bit of turnover. And, you know, Gui Santos is only making $2.2 million this year. Not that he'll get a huge raise, but you'd love to be able to keep him at, you know, maybe $5 or $6 million.
I think they will.
2 year. You know, you get a 2 year, $12 million deal or something for Gui.
Let's go to Matt in the city. Hi, Matt. Thanks for calling Willard and Dibs. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say, you know, Steve Kerr, probably maybe due to pods and not playing Moody, has gotten a lot of heat from Warriors fans the last 2-3 years. Kind of like Kyle Shanahan. But Shanahan had a fans really kind of changed their impression of Shanahan this past year, but with what he did with the team that he had. And I was just wanted to ask you guys, do you think if Steve Kerr can get this team into a first-round playoff, fans will maybe have a little bit of a different, maybe some of that vitriol against Steve Kerr would subside a little bit. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Matt, thanks. It's an interesting question. I think that my first reaction is you're setting the bar too low. I don't think getting to the playoffs is going to get people off of Steve Kerr. I think if you end up in Game 6 or Game 7 of that series, and my goodness, if you were to threaten to upset somebody in that first round, I think then that's when it would happen. The other thing that could happen is if the final third of the season here suddenly goes really, really well. Like if they were to start winning a bunch of games and go on a run. But the bar is just so damn high. It's so damn high that what I see a lot of is you – the anger button gets hit quickly, even when you can look at the reasons for the Warriors' struggles and go, well, they're obvious. Like, the number one reason that the Warriors are 30-27 this year is not Steve Kerr's rotations. It's injuries to great players. My opinion.
Agreed. And I think that the people who are already out on Steve Kerr, even if they made the playoffs and threatened OKC or San Antonio or heck, even won a round and then got knocked out, those people are not going to change their tune. Those are people who are dug in on the fact that Steve Kerr does not develop young players and he messed up with Wiseman and he didn't protect Jordan Poole and Jordan Poole got run out of town because the organization didn't protect him. I think that the anti-Kerr people are already so dug in. Nothing short of another title to me would get those people off of their opinion. I don't really understand what those people are thinking when it comes to being anti-Kerr. You could look at it now and say, you know what? It might be time for them to go in another direction. I get that. It's not to me as much about Steve Kerr as it is about just going in another direction. But I think those people who are down on Kerr, I think they're already so dug in that nothing could change their opinion.
You might be right. And I'd add one other simplistic point to this, which is that Steve Kerr's been here for 3 years longer than Kyle Shanahan. And so all things kind of start shelf-lifing themselves when they're not going well. And so the Warrior bar is so high, the way the NBA structure is, people are not interested in the play-in tournament. Steph Curry's on your team. People are not interested in the play-in tournament. And if that's what you're scrapping for every year, 7 seeds and 8 seeds, that's going to feel like failure. It's a little bit different in football. In football, we really celebrate making the playoffs, much more than we do in the NBA. And when you do that in a year like this with all of these major name injuries, you're going to be celebrated for that. But make no mistake, Kyle Shanahan can join Steve Kerr as quickly as this winter. Absolutely. Brock Purdy.
Join him in, the hot seat? Not that the seat's hot.
Yeah, I don't think it's the hot seat, but in terms of
criticism,
a portion of the fan base being like, I'm done.
You know,
Brock Purdy's about to make $53 million this year. If the offseason, if the signings don't go well, if the substation starts firing bullets at people again, whatever. Honestly, if the injury bug takes over again and this thing doesn't get regenerated and the 49ers lose, I don't know, if they lose, 8, 9, 10, 11 games, I think it's going to be, you're going to hear a lot of that, I would think.
You'll start to, you already did, and then this year happened where you had all the injuries and they went 12-5 and they won a playoff game. So even if you were of that mind of, Shanahan, you're trying to run him out, this year kind of had to quell the haters a little bit because they did what they did without all those players. But you do get into the Andy Reid zone, and just looking at it, 14 years Andy Reid in Philadelphia, and they went to one Super Bowl. They didn't win it, but you got to 14 years, and that's where things had kind of run out. You ran out of time. They were good most years, and then they went to the Super Bowl and didn't win, and this will be Shanahan's 10th year, I believe, coming up. I think that's right, 10 years. Right. This will be year 10 for Shanahan.
Hired in February of 17.
So this will be
season. Yeah, I think you're right.
So, Andy Reid, that to me is always the comp because 14 years for Andy, one Super Bowl appearance, a loss. Shanahan's now in year 10, two Super Bowl appearances, two losses. So, does Shanahan get 4 more years? Does he get more? I don't think that he gets less than 4 more years.
No, yeah, remember, it's not just, Super Bowl appearances and then there's the other playoff runs.
Yep.
I think one thing that really works for Kyle is that they've never, still to this day, they have never gone to the playoffs and just gotten kicked right out.
Yep.
It's never happened. And so that's, and a few times it was supposed to.
Like this year.
Well, this year.
Yep.
Right? There's the game at Lambeau where you beat Aaron Rodgers. They've been able to succeed on some level, even as an underdog sometimes. So every single year that you get to the playoffs, off you go. And I know that they fell one game short of the NFC title game this year, but if this is the, so he's had 9 years in and it's two Super Bowl appearances and two other NFC title game appearances, yep. and then this year as well, I don't know, man. Like, I look at both coaches, and I'm kind of like, I don't really understand where all the anger comes from. Like, I get you might not like certain things, and that's totally fine. That's totally fine, and that's normal. That comes with the head coach
yeah.
job. But, like, whew, it's pretty consistent levels of success for these guys. So some of this to me is just time.
It's
just time.
I mean, Steve Kerr's got four titles and two other finals appearances. And, you know, he's at the spot where he's been here a long time. Steph, Draymond, they're winding down. So you can look at a much more natural exit timeline-wise because, you know, Steph is going to play for one, two, however many more years, and Draymond, maybe one more. And so you get to that point where if Steph is gone and Draymond's gone, is Steve going to stick and stay and try to rebuild this thing at 63 or 64 years old? It feels like that expiration is much more of a tangible thing you can actually see. Whereas Shanahan, it could be, you know, they could go out there and win the bowl this year and he could stay for another 10, right. or they could have back-to-back, like, dud years and he could get run. The NFL is so fickle that way.
It is fickle that way. I would...
I'd be shocked.
Well,
I was thinking about Andy's 14. Will he be here, Shanahan? Will he be here as long as Andy was in Philadelphia? Does Shanahan get 14 years?
I'd bet yes.
I think so too.
Because I have a hard time believing that the next few years are just going to be like dud years.
That'd be five more years.
You know, they've got a good coach and a good quarterback.
Possibly.
It's usually going to win you a lot of football games. You got a really hard division. Really, really hard division.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a risk with everything.
What was the graphic I saw over the weekend? Was it Pro Bowl players? No. I got to find this thing. That was talking about, I know what it was. I know you hate PFF.
I don't hate PFF.
PFF top 100 players.
I hate that.
You do?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Okay. PFF top 100 players. Seahawks, Rams, Niners. 1, 2, 3. I'm like, oh my God. A quarter of the list is the NFC West. A quarter of the list. Is the NFC West.
Who are the Niners?
And, oh, I don't. I didn't dive that far in.
The only reason why I was asking is because if it's I don't know, if it's Nick Bosa, for example, then what are we even talking about? Or Fred Warner, a guy who played, you know, roughly half the year, was there a qualifying level that you had to play a certain amount of snaps?
I've got them. Here they are.
I knew you did.
PFF's top 101 players from the 2025 NFL season. So, yes, it is contingent on playing enough to get there.
Okay.
So, no, it's no Nick, no Fred. The five 49ers that made the list. Well, do you want to give it a whirl? Fire away. Let's see. I'll give you three strikes and let you know that, yes, if you missed the majority of the season, again, listen to me now, if you missed the majority of the season, then you weren't eligible. If you missed some of the season,
right.
then you're eligible.
Okay. So on the list would be Christian McCaffrey.
Ding.
Thank you. Trent Williams would be on the list. They love Trent Williams
they
at
sure
PFF.
Do. Yeah, yeah.
George Kittle. All right. The majority of the season is what he said.
That was just a guideline. I don't know what the exact, you know.
Bosa missed the majority of the season,
sure
so he's not on there. And Fred missed probably the majority of the season, so he's not on there.
That's correct.
So, I mean, I'm tempted to go Eddie Pinheiro, but they wouldn't put a kicker on there. He was awesome. He was awesome.
He was.
Kyle Juszczyk? Oh.
I'm sorry. That's incorrect. Strike one.
Okay. I'm probably forgetting somebody obvious. I mean,
hello,
Brock Purdy.
I was about to climb across this table and strangle you, dude.
And I should know that the only reason why we're doing this is so that you can go out of your way to love as the president of Brakistan. Thank you.
I brought this up.
How Shanahan make the list somehow?
Seriously.
I brought this up.
And I got a great idea for a topic, bro.
I didn't even know who the fuck. You saw me look that up in real time.
It's a great topic.
I brought this up without even knowing who the five were.
You sure did.
But I knew Brock Purdy was one of them.
Yeah, and I got it right.
One of the best quarterbacks in the
game. I only have one strike. I'm stalling, Grandy, because I'm running out of time. I'd like to phone a friend. Mark Grandy. Who am I missing?
He probably studies this.
What names have you already said?
I've said Brock Purdy.
He said McCaffrey.
Trent,
Kittle, and Brock. McCaffrey. There's one more who made the PFF Top 101 this year. And it's not Fred, and it's not Nick.
And it's not Morstead or Pinheiro.
And it's not Juice, because that's his strike one.
Is this a name that you feel like we should get, or is it a little more in the weeds?
How about if I say both? It's definitely not as big of a name as those other four.
Is it...
But it's not like you've never heard of him.
Diamador?
That's a great guess. I'm going with it. Oh, Grandy.
I'm sorry, that's strike two.
I know that PFF is a big fan of Jake Brendel, the center. Is it Jake Brendel?
Do you want to accept his answer? This is your game.
My gut says...
You're phoning a friend, but you are not contractually obligated to take the answer.
My instincts are to go against him because I can't stand him, but... he's also really good and really smart.
Yeah.
We're going to go with Brendel, Mark.
Jake Brendel.
Grandy, you broke my heart.
I'm sold on purpose.
I'm sorry. We go over to the
Alexander family,
who is ready to steal. Now, do you want to try to steal, Lucas? One answer left on the board.
John Weeks.
That's not it.
Is it Gifford?
It's not Gifford. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello.
To your little friend?
McKivitz?
To Colton McKivitz. That is exactly right. Colton McKivitz. PFF, top 101. How's everybody feel about two 49er offensive linemen in the top 101 when you also blend it with how y'all feel about the offensive line this year?
Right. A team that they cannot run that ball. You can't run the ball, but you've got your two tackles that are in your top 101.
You can't even give your quarterback 2 seconds against the Seahawks.
Yeah.
You did well against some other teams.
Sure.
Not against that one.
Man.
Played well against Philly.
Ask Mac Jones how he feels about the offensive line. That guy got tattooed.
They're vomiting on the sideline as we speak.
Yeah. I don't hate PFF, but I understand that it
those
is.
Those who do.
Don't we have that? I don't hate Brock Purdy, but. I mean, it just is, it's humans looking at...
I'm not insulting Brock Purdy, but...
Thank you. It's humans looking at other humans who are playing and then making a judgment based on what they see those humans doing.
Yeah.
It's very subjective.
I mean, isn't everything?
No. Like, it's not subjective when you have a... You hand the ball to a guy and he runs and he gets 3 yards, then...
Right, but numbers are also, misleading. Numbers lie.
They can.
They do.
Well, and also, for example, if you have a 1st and 10 from the 25 and you get out just past the 28 but not quite to the 29, is it 3 yards? Is it 4? I would give him 3. So there's a little subjectivity to that.
Well, but I just, for instance, to me, there's always perspective. There's always next level information. If the Niners went 12-5. True. Would they have if they had played the toughest schedule in the division? I don't know.
I mean, even beyond that, would they have gone 12-5 if they faced Indianapolis with Daniel Jones as opposed to with Grandpa Rivers?
So, but the world will look back on their record and go, they went 12-5.
Yeah, they went 12-5.
Right.
That's a fact.
And they're good. And you're like, they were good.
They were good.
They were good.
Yeah.
They were good. But then they also have some glaring holes. Like, they were good, but you also walk out of the season going you got work to do. A lot of work to do.
Yes.
Especially in that division.
You could look at the Patriots even more so, where they won the AFC and they played the second easiest schedule in the history of football.
Forever.
So, and every team they played fired their coach, except for a couple. And so,
it's true.
And you look at their schedule this upcoming year, you may want to fade the Pats.
For sure.
Yeah. Their schedule's brutal.
I bet they come back to a win total. Boy, I wonder if it's going to be nine and a half.
Yep.
9.5 or 10.5. What do you think? They went to the Super Bowl. I bet it's going to be 10.5, and I'm going to bang that under. Oh, I'm going to bang that under.
I would bet you they probably hang it. Johnny Avello, DraftKings, they probably put that thing at 9.5.
Are they? Do you think they're out yet?
I don't think so. I mean, you can look.
NFL win totals. USA Today did projected win totals.
Right. And your guys, DraftKings, right, Johnny?
Yeah. Oh, they do have, Yahoo's got them out. Yeah, Patriots are 9.5.
9.5, yeah, look at me.
There it is.
Look at the big brain on dibs.
Look at that guy over there across from me.
Yep.
All right, all week long, we're giving you a chance to go to the Sharks-Canadiens game with us next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow. Listen to the crossover with us and Steiny and Goo. By the way, they'll be there too. Each day the rest of the week, and you can be one of the five winners. We were able to award one today. Four more to go. Every one of you gets a plus one. Listen to the crossover around 1:45 in the queue to call. And then you and a guest can be joining us for a Sharks night out. More details at 957thegame.com. We are also sponsored by Kalshi. Trade on everything. 888-957-9570 is the number. Guy Santos joined us earlier. If you missed a couple of the things that he had to say, we have that coming up next for you on Willard and Dibs.
Warriors sandwiching Jokic on defense. Ball thrown on, tipped away by Melton. Melton the steal on the breakaway. He lays it in. Timeout, Denver. The Warriors lead by 7. It's 116-109, and listen to Chase Center.
Dub Nation, it's DeAnthony Melton. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Come on, Tim Roy. It's the Chase Center, not Chase Center.
He knows better.
I know he does.
I lost you.
Okay. Hey, what did you say? What quarter was it when the Warriors took care of triples for autism?
I thought it was the second quarter, and it was like early second quarter.
Just so you all know, like the...
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, the Warriors just need to make 10 threes in any given game, and then our friends at Pettinelli Financial Partners, along with the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area, they get together, and Pettinelli makes a nice donation in the fight against autism. So all the Warriors need to do is hit 10 threes, and they have done that in all but one game so far this year.
They hit 9 in the first quarter.
There you go. En route to 21. 21 three-pointers in the game last night. Easy donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Thank you, Al Horford, for leading the way with 6 of them.
Mm.
Al and Moses Moody got together to donate basically by themselves. Al had 6. Moses had 4. Done. Let's eat.
Melton hit a 3 minutes and 19 seconds into the second quarter, which was the 10th of the game.
There you go. And Melt had 2. Guy had 2. GP2 had 3. Pods had 3. Will Richard added another.
They were 15 for 28 at halftime from deep. And then they went 0 for 13 in the third quarter.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Oh, Houston, they had a problem.
Yep.
But then they figured it back out in the fourth.
They figured it back out. And they got hot.
Pods got hot.
Yeah, he did. Say that too out loud now.
I know, right?
Anyway, great job, Pettinelli. Thank you, SF Autism Society. If you'd like to donate, get involved yourself, go to sfautismsociety.org. Triples for Autism is brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. You know what I've learned? I've learned something these last couple of weeks.
Yeah?
I go home in a good mood when Guy Santos comes on the show.
It's that easy, huh?
That's it.
I mean, you go home in a good mood anyway.
Right.
Like, because you're pretty much a chipper young fella.
I'm a good mood guy.
Bay Area, it's Guy Santos here. No. Hey, Dibs, you're a big stink.
Yeah, that was...
I used to hate that, but now I love it because I love him.
And yeah, and he's an easy laugh guy, and I like easy laugh guys.
Yeah.
It's not hard. Like, what's the over-under on Guy laughs when he does an interview with us? It's like 5.5.
Yep. Pay the over.
Yeah.
He's down to chuckle. And, you know, today he let fly with a couple easy ones.
Did you just call him Chuckles?
Chuckles. He's down to chuckle.
Chuckles Santos?
I mean, because there's a giggle, which is kind of what he does on that drop. Hey, Dibs, your pick's a stink. That's more of a giggle, and a chuckle's more, you know? That's closer to a guffaw.
Yours is, your gee impression is more snivelly than he actually is.
And yeah. Hey, Dibs, your pick's a stink.
Bay Area, yeah. It's Gee Santos here. Hey, Dibs, your pick's a stink.
You make him sound like a Batman villain.
That's more of a giggle than a cackle. I'm trying to think about what you would call the Cosell laugh. That's more like just...
That's a car horn.
Rah, rah, rah,
yeah, exactly.
You know? So, every anyway. Laugh is different.
One of these days, I did this once before, solo COVID radio, but whatever. Laugh-offs are tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. If we did... Cosell versus Santos versus Farhan versus
Friedel
for sure.
I mean, that is just three note perfection. Yeah, that's two. You'd have to have a Friedel bracket
because he's hard got the... to beat. Yeah, it's gonna be hard to beat.
That's the one, deep and sinister.
Like, that's not even real. That's like.
No way.
That works.
It does.
Maybe when we get closer to the NCAA tournament, we could do like a little
laugh bracket.
March Madness.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. Thank you.
Nice job.
Appreciate it.
All right. Anyway, so we did ask Guy after a bunch of questions that had nothing to do with anything. Oh, I know. We were talking to him about like food on the plane and, you know, what the. This is why I love Guy. Did you notice? I'm like, hey, how was the flight? What'd you eat and where'd you sit? And he goes, so it started yesterday when we had practice. Like, he gave us the whole 24 hours of Golden State Warriors life.
Yep.
I love people like that.
Full itinerary.
Yeah. So anyway, we finally got to a basketball question. And we're like, hey, when the big names are out, you know, Guy, the ball stoppers. You know, when those guys go away... Is your plan kind of different then?
You know, when you don't have Steph, when you don't have Jimmy, you know, Porzingis, guys that are going to have the ball more in their hands, you just got to move the ball. You got to make the ball run for us. So that's one thing that we have in mind. Somebody got to create the first, you know, the first, make the first domino fall. And everybody just keep moving the ball, keep driving, keeping taking the best shots. I feel like we've been doing that very, very good. I think last game we had a lot of assists, you know, one of the most assists, like games in the season. So that was one of the biggest reasons because we didn't stop to move the ball. Everybody was playing and running for each other. And that was what make us really, really play, I think, one of the best basketball games of our season right now without Steph, Draymond, Jimmy, and Porzingis. You know?
There you go.
Porzingis. I like that.
Yeah, well, he calls himself Santo.
Yep, and it works.
Yeah, you don't need to finish.
Yep, you know, without Porzingis.
You're Dan Dibb.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think what I heard him say without him saying it is, yeah, Steph Curry ball stopper. Like, all right, Steph, give up the rock, kid.
Did you see at the end, and I don't want to call him out on this, but there's gravity to these guys. Steph has gravity. Draymond has gravity. Jimmy Butler has gravity. Young players, 23, 24 years old, they're very, very hesitant to come in sort of like, and you see why. Look what happens when Pods comes in. He's like, I'm going to be better than Steph.
Right.
Everyone's like, we hate you, and we don't ever want to see you again. So they're very hesitant. Did you hear him at the end? He's like, that's why yesterday was one of the best games of the year. Without Steph.
Right. They had the most, assists on the season.
Without Steph.
Right. Because all he is dribble, 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 and shooting 35-footers.
Well, he was like, I need to create two different categories. It was Warrior games with Steph. Warrior games without Steph.
Without Steph.
This is one of the best games without Steph.
That's right.
Played all year long.
And it was one of the greatest games they played without Steph. And you go back, even with Steph, the second game of the year when they beat Denver here, we were looking at that game as one of the best games of the year, one of the best wins. And then hard to not look at yesterday and put that right alongside. And Denver's really good. And I know the schedule. Schedule Sam will tell you it's a bad spot. But you didn't have any of your real name guys, and you still took it to Denver.
Are the Warriors going to have the tiebreaker over the Nuggets?
What if they do.
Yeah, what if they tie each other for the three seed?
That's not bad. I don't think they play again, do they?
Granny didn't like
They're
that
They're up 2-1 in the season series.
Granny, while you're rolling your eyes, you'll love this. I thought of this, and then I decided to pass on it. I just want, like, that. It's no different than when guys are like, should I shoot this? No, I'm going to pass. Like, I had a thought when you were doing Guy and his laugh, and you were calling, what'd you call it?
There's a giggle. There's a cackle. There's a guffaw.
Right. And 707 texted in the obvious response that I passed on. He said it's a giggle.
It's a giggle.
It's not a
giggle. Yeah, you should have gone with it.
It's not a giggle.
It's a giggle. That's great.
I didn't say it wasn't great. I passed on it.
Okay.
Sometimes, like, you ever seen in the NBA, they're like, dude, you have a layup. And they're like, but that guy over there's got a three. I'm going to throw it to him.
That's every possession.
Yeah, right. And then they brick the three, and you're like, dummy, shoot the layup. Jimmy Butler used to do that all the time, drive me nuts. Like, dude, you got a layup. Lay it in.
No.
Like, that's only worth two.
That's right.
So and I Warriors, passed on it. I probably should have shot that shot. What,
52 threes
yesterday?
They shot?
Correct.
Seems like a lot, but it really isn't in this modern NBA.
I mean, Denver only shot 31.
Only.
But they only made 8. No autism donation in Denver today.
Nah, sorry about that.
Way to go, guys.
Autistic people in Colorado.
You help somebody once in a while.
Jeez.
What are you doing on the radio, Grandy? Did we make the cut or not?
Well, the morning show had a good conversation about the Warriors yesterday without Draymond Green. You're going to hear that conversation.
Uh-huh.
And then you guys had a good conversation with Guy Santos.
That's right.
Which is going to come up as well.
And he had 5 giggles.
Approximately.
All right. We should go home now.
Probably.
All right, what's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah, sure. I got to call out another name and get another qualifier knockout.
That's right.
I'm duty bound.
And the next 2 days, we will be getting you ready for Warrior basketball. We got a back-to-back on the road, and so that's coming up the next 2 days. Nick Friedell and his giggle will be on the show tomorrow as well, so that's exciting.
And Sharks tickets in the crossover.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you. Man, that's a busy day. I better go get some rest.
Yep.
For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
Bay Area, it's Guy Santos here. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.